Let's just go start. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We give you thanks for everything that you've done and everything that you're doing in our lives. Lord, we know that you are with us at all times, even amidst the storms, amidst the problems, the situations. And we just give you thanks and pray that you would minister to our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how many know that God calls us by name? Now, when me and my wife were about to have children, we go through, every couple goes through this process of naming their children. And, you know, sometimes it has, you know, I really love this name. I heard somebody had it. Or, you know, there is, sometimes it's like, you know, it's a tradition in our family that, you know, that always the first son has this name. Or, you know, it just keeps going down the line. But everybody has kind of this way of naming children. And when me and my wife were naming our kids, when we found out that our first was going to be a boy, I was like, you know, I really would like him to have my name. But in Mexico, Matthew is really hard to pronounce. There's a reason why I go to, you know, any kind of service, and instead of saying my first name, they'll say my second name just because it's so much easier to pronounce. And so I was like, you know what, I'll give him the name Christian, which is my second name. It's used here in Mexico as well, and so it would be something easy. It's not going to get bullied in school because of something that's not common. And then with my daughter, I really always loved the name Emma, and my wife has the second name Araceli, which is also my mother-in-law's second name. So Emma is at her second name, Araceli. She's a third generation to have that name. And when we're doing this, we're like, you know what, there's reasons that we're putting the name, and lots of times it's like, okay, you know, and then we have to live the rest of our lives knowing that, you know, did we give them the right name? Did we give them a good name? Or did they like their name? And but God knows our names, and he's always going to tell us these. He's always going to call us. He knows us from even before we were born. He knows what our names were going to be. And during this time, and it's kind of funny because one of the main reasons I was pushing my wife to actually name our daughter her second name Araceli is because I really loved my mother-in-law. She's gone to be with the Lord. But I was like, you know what? Try to keep it like almost like a tradition. You know, this will be a third generation. And it was kind of funny because I loved my, we kind of had a joke in our family about how much we loved for the reasons why we got married. And I would always joke with my wife saying, well, I married you because how much I love your mom. And then my wife would turn it around and say, well, I married you because I loved your mom's cooking. And, well, we both have lost that because my mother-in-law has gone to be with the Lord and my mom doesn't cook anymore. Well, she doesn't cook the food that my wife liked. That so we've now had to find new reasons to love one another and be with one another. But, you know, there's different things or names that, you know, when we're growing up, when we're called by name by somebody, you know, it might be our parents, our mom or dad, you know, when we hear our name, we know if we're in trouble or not by the tone, by the way that they're calling us. I have an interesting story that kind of put this into perspective. When I was turning, I believe it was 15, when I was asleep, someone decided to play a prank on me. One of them is sitting in the back. I'm not going to call him by name, Neto. But they decided to put itching powder on top of me when I was sleeping. And last week he reminded me because I gave this sermon in the first service last week. And he's like, well, you forgot to tell them that we put like a stink bomb in your underwear drawer as well. But one of the things that I did is like, obviously, when you're itchy and have all these things, and I did the same thing with my son. He's itchy. He's like, oh, you know, jump in the shower, try to rinse it, you know, get some kind of thing to alleviate that itch. And so I went and took a shower, and I looked over to my white my white towel that is now black and itching powder that they just dumped it on top of the towel. I'm like, did they not think I would, you know, realize that they did this? Just put it back on top of me? So, I mean, I cried out to my parents, like, can you give me a towel or something? And because how itchy I was itching to the point where my arms were starting to bleed. And the ones that did the prank, including, you know, a member of my family, thought this was so funny, but because they were afraid of what would happen, they locked themselves in one of the rooms in the house. And when my dad saw how bad it was that I was scratching, they went and started pounding on the door and calling one name really loud. Josh! Come out! And I'm pretty sure he knew he was upset. But it was funny because they opened up the door just enough to shove him out and close the door again. But he knew at that moment that he was in trouble because of the tone that was being called. And now, names are important not just in conversation, but also in a biblical standing, because God also calls us by name. And we're going to read in Acts 9, verse 1 through 6. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats. Doesn't that sound joyous? He was in a good mood. So it says, he was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city. You will be told what you must do. Now I find it interesting is that, you know, he was calling him by name. It was, Saul doesn't know who this is, but he's like, well, who are you that you even know who I am? And, you know, God has called every single person. And some people choose to listen. Some people choose not to listen. But God is one of those people that will get in your face and say, hey, I'm right here. Listen to me. And he will call us by name. Now, there are many that, you know, will choose not to listen or choose to listen. And the second point that I have is to listen, we need to hear his call. We need to listen to his call. Now, when I was growing up, all my life, my parents have been in ministry. And, you know, I have many memories, and majority of my memories of being young were in a church. Now, there was a church that my parents pastored in Palo Cedro in California, and it was a large church. In the front part of the church, you know, you had the sanctuary and such. And then you kind of, the hallway was in the middle of the church. And then the back part was the classrooms and the fellowship hall. Now, as a young child, I can say the fellowship hall was a scary place. It was very long, it was very empty, and had very, very small windows. So it let very little light in there. So it, as a boy, you know, the first thing I would do would turn on the lights. And we'd go, and maybe my brother would hang out because you had to go through the fellowship hall to get to these different rooms where they had toys or had a ping pong table. So if we wanted to do anything in the church, we had to go through this room. And whenever my parents would call to us because we're playing in the back, it's time to go. Well, we would almost be like, okay, let's do rock, paper, scissors to see who turns off the lights. And, you know, quickly you'd run out of there. It's like, get out of here as quickly as you can. Because, you know, even though it's a church, you know, with a certain atmosphere, anything can feel kind of scary, especially to a child. But I also have memories of this place, the same building that in different parts I might be afraid or had fear. And it's also, I have memories of that same place where it was the first place I spoke in tongues. And, you know, hearing, you know, going into my parents saying, well, what does this mean? So, well, I don't know what it means. What do you mean? It's like, well, I just started praying and this word came out. And it's like, oh, you're speaking in tongues. And it's a memory that I have that you know, growing up in the church, knowing that, you know, they can call you by name. And the thing is that there's also other people in stories in the Bible about small children that were called by name. And we're going to go ahead and read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 through 10. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was." Now, I'm familiar with this. Growing up, when my dad would be working in the office, you know, we would try to find any comfy place kind of lay down or where to hang out. And sometimes we would just hang out in the sanctuary, just laying on the pews or laying down. And we would try to do that during the service, and then my mom would poke us. Get up, sit straight. And I joke with my sister saying, you know, when we were younger, we couldn't, you know, take toys or do these other things at church. We'd always have to be in the front pew and sit up straight, pay attention, do this. So, but, it, you know, things change. But I can personally say I can connect with Samuel in this case. You know, he feels comfortable because he's always there. This is where he was being. To just lay down or be comfortable wherever, you know, as a child, you don't know better. You know, being poked in the front row. I didn't see any reason why I should be poked. You know, I felt very comfortable just laying there. I'm sure Samuel did too. So it says Samuel was laying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." So, but he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. It says, a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. You know, at this point, I would have been kind of annoyed. It's like, you know, I keep coming back and you're saying you're not calling me. I know you called me. So here I am, you called me. When Eli realized that the Lord was calling to the boy, so Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Now, in the Spanish translation, I like a little bit the phrasing of it. It says, "If someone calls you," is the way that it's more put in the Spanish side. And I like that more of the feeling is that because, well, Samuel didn't know, and it says in before, it says, he did not yet know the word of the Lord. He did not know God's voice. So if you hear someone call you, and it says, say this. It says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Now, I'm pretty sure that Samuel got his name called multiple times. So I'm pretty sure God knew his name. And, you know, when God calls our name, it's our job not just to hear and forget about it, but to also respond. And there are a lot of times that God will call us by name or call us and say, "Do this." And we'll say, "Well, I'll do that tomorrow." And then in our human nature, we'll forget about it. Rather than saying, "I'm here. Here am I. Let me go and do what you're telling me to do, you know, or what can I do for you, Lord?" And many times we'll be in that other mentality of, you know what, this is a real bother to me. You know, I'm kind of in the middle of something, God. I may have been kind of in a conversation and God tries to tell us to do something or say something, but it really inconveniences us. And, you know, one of the things in the next point that I have is that, you know, what happens to those that disobey? And growing up, I disobeyed a little bit. A little bit. And in those days, because things have definitely changed in my family after I got too old. So the next person that followed wasn't disciplined like me and my brother were. But we used to get spankings. Breathe. And my mom, and to this day, even for my kids, they'll come over and she's got a spanking spoon. Get you. It's like, and my son's come over to us and was like, it's because my grandma has a spoon. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about that. I broke the original one. Because there was a time when my mom would go to spank me and I would literally look like, is that all you got? And so my mom would try spanking harder, and what ended up happening is that the spoon broke. And so at that point, my mom says, wait until your father gets here. And, you know, at that point, it's like, my dad, ooh. Now this is scary. So, but, you know, I might not have been afraid at the moment looking at that spoon at that age. It's like, I felt my mom's strength, and it's not much. But then the moment of my dad, I'm like, if he pulls out the belt, that's going to hurt. But, you know, sometimes us, even in our spiritual walks, we're the same way. You know, when we think of, oh, well, this is the discipline, or this is the situation that might hurt. And then when we hear the word like, oh, this is really what's going to happen. Ooh, that's not good. And we do the same thing in our spiritual life. And, you know, there's a perfect example of someone in the Bible that this same situation happened to. We're going to go to Jonah. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. It's you know, isn't that the name that you want for your grandkids? Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, how wicked does a city have to get to the point where God will say, you know what, something has to be done here? It says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Now, my question is, how far do you have to run away from the Lord? It says, he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish. To flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And then the next verse, we'll jump into verse 7, says, then the sailors said to each other, because it was so bad, so let's cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. Now, I thought this was interesting that, you know, back in that day, even when they're choosing, you know, the final disciple and, you know, the different situations, you know, let's throw lots. Let's gamble this. Who's got to die? Let's see what the luck falls on. And that's I thought that that's interesting. But, you know, they cast lots and it fell on Jonah. How many think that's a coincidence? By just luck. It just so happened to fall on Jonah. No, I'm pretty sure God was like, here you go. This is who it really was. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? This sounds familiar, like if you get stopped by the police. It's like, what's going on? What kind of work do you do? Where are you coming from? Where are you going? What's going on here? And it's like, all these questions. What is your country? From what people are you? They're like, who are you? Why is this happening to us? Why did the lot fall on you? And it says, he answered, I am Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who has made the sea and dry land. This terrified them. Why? Because they know, oh, this is God is powerful. So if this is coming from him, this is going to be terrible. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. Now, I would be terrified as well, saying, okay, I am about to run into the wrath of God because of somebody else's fault. And I probably would not be too happy with that person. So continuing on, it says, Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah because they decided to toss him overboard. In the beginning, they were like, oh, you know what? We're going to row. We're going to get back to land. Everything is going to be fine. And what happens? God makes the storm even worse. And they're like, okay, well, there's no other option. Out you go. And you know, it just so happens by mere chance that a huge fish was there. I don't think so. It says a huge fish to swallow Jonah was provided, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, how many of us have to spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish to realize what we've done? You know, and it's until that point where Jonah's like, fine, I'll go, God. And it wasn't the first moment when he was swallowed. It's like, okay, I'll go. And I was like, he had to wait there. He's sitting in there. It's like, okay, I'm going to wait. Maybe something will eventually will happen. And after a while, he's like, okay, I ain't getting out of this one. Okay, I'll go. But how many of us are like that? That literally we're called by name and we decide not to obey. And so God has to figuratively send a large fish our direction. And then we're asking, why are we going through these situations? Why is this thing happening to us? So, well, are you being obedient? Are you obeying what God has told you to do? When he calls you by name, are you saying, here I am, Lord, how can I help you? Or are you saying, goodbye, God, let me go this way? Because many times, you know, I can tell you, in the walk with God, it's not always easy. Majority of the cases, it's not easy. But we have to obey. We have to learn to obey. And I know a lot of times people do not want to hear this, but not everybody you see in church is saved. And people will say, well, I look into the church and I see hypocrites, or these people that they say this or do that, and do they do other things? It's like, well, let me tell you, the church is a hospital for sinners. If we take in consideration kind of the way that the world looked at the church, well, shouldn't the hospitals be the place full with healthy people? It should be the healthiest people in the hospital. But no, that's where you find the sickest people. And the same way with the church. And it terrifies me to think, you know, you could see people in church, and when you get to heaven, you might not see them there. And the world wants to think, well, everybody will make it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It says that the path is narrow. It doesn't say the gates are wide open, ready for everybody to come through. It says that it's narrow and that very few will make it. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 5, it says, the one who is victorious will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Now, one of the things that really points out to me is that he says, I will never blot out the name of that person. Why does he have to tell or say, I will never do this for this person if it was not possible? If your name cannot be blotted out, if your name cannot be removed from the book of life, why does he have to specify saying, I will never blot it out? Because your name might be written there one moment, but if you decide to disobey, if you choose not to continue on in that path, then your name can be blotted out. Because we have to be obedient to his way. We have to hear our names that are being called out, and we have to continue walking forward. Because if we're not obedient, we run the risk of our names being blotted out. And that's the point of this message this morning, is that we need to walk in obedience. We have to walk continuously in that narrow line, even though it's hard, it's difficult. You know, we might want to be like Jonah to run away and run the opposite direction because, you know, it's difficult to do things. Why did Jonah not want to go? It's because he said, well, if I go there, they're going to kill me. They're not going to like the words that I have to say to them. And how many know that today's day, lots of stuff that we have to say, people don't want to hear it. The message of God has to be preached. People have to be warned about the things that are coming. And maybe many people will say, oh, I know what's going on. Well, you're not living that life. If you knew what God has commanded and you said that you are a Christian or you're living this life, why are you not living the life that God commands? So this morning I want to encourage you to, when he calls your name, to live in obedience. But not only that, but to have courage, that if you see that your brothers and sisters in Christ are not walking that life, they're not walking that line, that you have the courage to say something. Because in the end, you don't know if you're going to see them there. We are not the ones to judge. I can't judge my wife. My wife can't judge me, even though, you know, sometimes we try to. It's only us and God. But the Bible says that he will know us by our fruit. So it's not that we can't judge. If we're not seeing the fruit, something is going on, and we should make a mention of it, saying, hey, is everything all right? Are you walking the line? Is everything going the way you should? Because if we don't say anything and then we get to heaven, we don't see that person there, and we didn't say anything, where's the valiant people in Christ? Where's the valiant walkers, those that walk in his light and say, you know, this is the way it is, and I'm going to call it out the way it is. So this morning, I'm just going to invite you to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Even though this might not be a message that we want to hear, even though it might not be a message that, you know, drives passion, says, oh, I really loved hearing that. But Lord, it might be the word that we're needing to hear. It might not be the popular word. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to walk that narrow path and continue forward even though it's not popular. I pray that you would give us courage to speak your word even though it's not popular, or the people will hate us because of your name. But we know there's only one path, and it's through you. And this morning, I pray that if anybody here has strayed from that path, that you would touch their lives. That you'd call them by name. And I pray that they would have the courage to say, I am here, Lord, speak. And to listen. That when we're out walking amongst the people, that if we hear you call, say, speak or say this, even though it might not be popular, or we don't know what that person will say, that we will be obedient. Because we want to see the multitudes there along with us in heaven. Give us the courage, Lord. Let us be your valiant people. That when we hear you call us by name, say, here I am. And in faith, if you're saying, you know what, that's me, I'm here, that if God calls my name, I'm going to answer. Just lift your hand this morning, say, I'm here, Lord. I'm here, Lord. If you have something to say to me, I'm here, and I will listen and obey. Touch our lives, Lord. Minister to our lives, Lord. Let us see sin that we might not have seen. Let us walk pure before you. Then when we get to heaven, we could say we finished the race and we preached the word. And every opportunity that I had to mention you, I took advantage of it.
be amongst us, Lord. Let us be your feet to walk. Let us be your mouth to speak. Let us be our hands to pray and heal the sick, Lord. Use us in this time of darkness to be the light. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be obedient when you hear his name calling you. When he hears you, when you hear him calling your name, be obedient. Amen. We're dismissed. God bless.